Welcome back to another episode of the Ike Packers Podcast. My name is Alex Eichsted. I'm your host, and Packers fans, we have a very special guest today, a part of our pre-draft process. We are talking to Missouri cornerback Ennis Rakestraw Jr. He's from Missouri again, and he's a projected first-round pick in the NFL draft. The Packers have pick 25. Will he be around? We don't know. Packers have a lot of draft capital to potentially trade up for him, so we're going to dive into what he can do, who he is, and give you a preview here on the Ike Packers Podcast. So if you like today's show, please leave a five-star review on Apple Podcasts and text it to a friend. I'm also joined by my co-host, KJ. KJ, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Packers fans, I'm doing phenomenal. Super excited to be here with Alex. Super excited to be here with Ennis. I mean, I was watching the film and I was fired up. I think he would be a tremendous addition to the Packers in our quest for another Super Bowl. And we're excited to get into it. So thanks for having me.
Alrighty, so I'll kick things off. We're going to do something different today. We're going to start with the lightning round because it's a great way to break the ice. And basically, it's just a bunch of quick hitter questions, and we ask that you just keep the answers. Do your best to keep the answers to one or two words, if that may, or one sentence or something like that. First question on this: what's your favorite food?
Chicken tenders.
What's a musical artist you've been listening to a lot this year?
No cap.
What's the first app you open up in the morning?
TikTok.
What's a good book you've read?
Book. I don't even know. That's a good question. I'm going back to my kid days, Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Okay. What's a movie or a show you really like?
I like watching the Fridays every night when I'm done playing the game.
Okay. What's a favorite class you've taken?
Sports management, my pre-internship class.
Apple Music or Spotify?
Apple Music.
Next place you want to go on vacation?
Cancun, because everybody talk about it.
And if you could start or pursue any charity, what would it be?
A Boys and Girls Club in my community.
Amazing. Awesome. So yeah, I think that's awesome to help everyone get to know Ennis a little better. And Ennis, I just want to kick it to you, man, and then we'll ask some follow-up questions. In your own words, if a team drafts Ennis Rakestraw, what kind of player are they getting?
They're getting a physical player, a player who don't mind going up and making tackles, who fit the run game, lock my man up, and I'm going to compete. And I'm always accountable, so my teammates can trust me to be in the right place and do my job every single play at a high level.
Yeah, I think that was the first thing that I noticed watching your tape is that you're physical. You go up and you make the play on the ball, very similar to Jaire Alexander on the Packers, where you kind of attack the receiver. A lot of cornerbacks shy away from that tackling. What is your philosophy up at the line? And I guess, have you watched much Jaire Alexander tape? And what can you take away from him?
I'm a huge Jaire Alexander fan. Actually, I was at the game when y'all beat the Cowboys. So I was there and I got to watch him in person. I like his man-to-man technique. He real physical. A lot of people don't know how great of a physical corner he is. But I watched games that he's been real physical with receivers. So that's who I kind of model my game after. And for me, when I'm in the line, it's just a mindset of it's you versus me, and it's a chess match. So sometimes I'm a jump jam, and sometimes I'm just not going to let you off the ball. It's just a puzzle piece when you're on the field. That's why I love DB. I'm off of another person's reaction.
Yeah, and Ennis, when I was watching your tape, too, I noticed that you really blanket these guys. Like, you're on them, I mean, versus some other cornerbacks' tapes we've watched, like, you are very on these guys, and you're playing in the SEC. And I noticed that, you had some of your best games versus elite competition, like particularly Georgia. And I guess, like, what's your mindset like when you go up against, like, the best of the best? You seem to really thrive on that.
I thrive on going versus the best and the best. Obviously, it let me measure who I am as a player going versus the best. But I don't shy down from anybody, so it don't matter who across from me. It can be Georgia. It can be Alabama. It really don't matter to me. I'm going to compete at my highest level But obviously when we play guys like Georgia, the lights are on. And one thing about me, when the lights on, I'm going to shine harder than the lights.
Oh, yeah. And that probably stems back from your high school days. I looked into your background, and you were defensive player of the year in Texas. Texas football, Friday Night Lights, it has that kind of super competitive culture in football. And as I guess growing up, can you maybe just tell the listeners a little bit about like your upbringing with football, at what age you got into it, and then when you really knew that it was something you were going to go pro for one day?
My stepdad put me in football when I was like 5 years old. First, it was just me and my mom, so I didn't have no football background. But my stepdad came in my life and put me in sports. I really didn't like football at first. It's funny because I feel like everybody was bigger than me and I was so far behind. But I stayed with it. He never let me like give up on myself, and I started developing some real traits. They always knew that I was physical, and I might be the littlest person on the field, but I had the dog in me. So when I got to high school, I was kind of overlooked by a lot of college coaches, so that put even more of a fire under me to turn me into who I am today. So every time I went versus somebody who they called a 4 or 5-star, I made sure I shut them down in the state of Texas. And then I got my respect on going versus guys like Jackson Smith Ejigma and Raheem Grant, I think. So I had to build my resume, but it all based on people thinking I'm too small.
I love that. And Ennis, that's kind of it almost leads into my next question. We look very deeply for what we call a player's why, in terms of like, what do they play for? What drives them? Because almost every single case, when a player has something to play for, they brings out the best in them. And you mentioned in your own words, like you're a dog. And we always talk about almost like, you know, the Packers have certain dogs, but we need more dogs. And, you know, we got a guy like Quay Walker, but we need a whole team full of them. And like, could you maybe describe like your why in any direction you'd like to go? Like what is the thing that really drives you?
My why, it always started with my mom, because my mom had me 15, 3 days before being 16. So my birthday is June 5th. My mom's June 8th. So a lot of people was telling my mom growing up that I wouldn't go really kind of be nothing, or I always was negative because she was a team mom. So with this football thing, I play for the name on the front of the jersey, but I also play for the back. Me and my mom got different last names, but at the end of the day, that's who I came from, and that's who helped me along the journey. So she's a big part of my why. And people was telling her I was never going to be nothing, or she wasn't because she was too young. And that motivation and that stuff my mom had to go through really made me who I am today. And when people was telling me I wouldn't be nothing, or I was too small to be in the SEC, and things of that sort, it just pushed me. Nothing never made me depressed or down about myself. Anything somebody say negative about a person like me, it just go fuel me. So I like when people talk negative about me.
Turn that into something good, that anger into something positive. You almost made me think of Giannis Antetokounmpo, the way he plays for his family, the way you were describing how you play for your mom. And Ennis, I just have to ask, because you mentioned a little bit that you had that chip against the 4-star recruits, against the 5-star recruits. When it came to choosing a college and choosing Missouri, what was the driving force there? And then I guess as you kept playing for Missouri, NIL became a thing. And so why did you stick with Missouri? And maybe want to talk about that experience at that school.
It's funny because on National Signing Day, I was committed to Alabama. I committed to Nick Saban the night before. We had a great conversation, and he said they was going to let me announce my decision. When I got to the table the next morning, I just felt like Missouri was the right fit for me. And I told my mom before I made my decision, because she knew it was Alabama. But then when I switched, I told her I want to go to a program and help build it up. I want to be like how I was in high school. Duncanville was not always good. But through my 4 years, we became the top team in the nation, like top 5 in the nation. So that was kind of my reason of going to Missouri. Obviously, I started as a freshman, so that was a good perk for me on the all-SEC schedule. And my sophomore year, I tore my ACL. It was a lot of things going on in my mind there. But I remember when I met my cornerback coach, Al Polk, I was riding a bike, and this first time he ever seen me, and he shook my hand, and I was like, I'm going to show them. And he was confused. He was like, go show who? I said, I'm going to show everybody who think I'm not going to be the same, or I'm not going to be the same player that I was. And he kept me up to that. So with the Missouri situation, they just always kept me striving for greatness and striving for more than what I felt like I could, and they always seen some better in me. NIL made it obviously hard because, you know, I ain't going to say who, but other teams are reaching out trying to get me to come there my senior year. But I'm glad I didn't, because I fulfilled my promise to my mom that before I leave Missouri, we was going to have a winning season and we was going to shock the world, and we did.
You really did. And Ennis, I absolutely love what you said about building something up, because there's really something special in that. And, you know, you're someone who I would consider, like, you look at the tape and you're very clearly talented. But at the same time, I would also say you're kind of rising up draft boards right now. And, you know, I guess, like, objectively speaking, you know, like, what do you think is, like, different? Like, what do you think that reason is? I know you've been putting in the work, right? But, like, is there maybe one or two small changes you made that, like, really helped you take it to the next level? And maybe could you speak on that for a sec?
Most definitely. So, when I first came into college, I was 159 pounds. So the small narrative, my beginning of my career was true. I was small. And I just kept progressing every year. My sophomore year, I was 174. Then my junior year, I got up to 175, and I had to sit down with my nutritionist and said I want to take the next step to be it. Because everybody say I'm a potential pro, but I'm small. So we sat down, we wrote up a plan, and I stuck to it. And the next time the scouts seen me, I was 193 pounds in fall camp. So that probably blew a lot of them away, because they was used to me being a smaller guy. And I've been playing nickel and corner my whole 4 years. So it's like I'm very versatile. And when you turn on the tape, my numbers not going to always speak higher. Like, I don't have all the numbers, but also you got to take into consideration if I'm blanking at the receiver or I think I only was targeted about 17 times this year. So I can't determine where the plays go. So I just got to keep my mind focused and stick to my game plan. And I guess scouts starting to see it.
Yeah, man, I absolutely love that, because like we touched on, the tape does not lie. Your tape is phenomenal. And I forgot to ask this prior, but what do you see in the Packers defense, right? Because I think that we have a lot of talent, and a lot of people would agree with that, but we haven't really been able to put it together and take that next step. And I guess just, like, it's okay to just be honest about it. Like, what do you see in that defense, and how do you think you could maybe, like, fit in and help us get to that top 10 consistent defense that's winning Super Bowls?
The things I like about the Packers defense, they're very physical and man-to-man, and everybody on there can run. Like, even Walker, he's a big guy. I watched him on the field. He's guarding Tony Pollard man-to-man on some plays, which was, like, that was something I was like, man, like, that guy's really special. The thing that I can bring is whatever the team needs. I'm a team first guy. If y'all need me to go in the slot, if y'all feel like I exceed there, I'll do that. If y'all think I can be good on the outside, I can do that as well. I feel like the only thing that I can bring is a competitive edge and that dog mentality. And I feel like even through college, everybody feed off dog mentality. So if you got a few dogs and on the team, everybody go turn into a dog just off the energy level. Energy is contagious, and that's how you win games. If you got guys with upbeat energy and relentless effort, that's what really changed our organization. But y'all, this year, I really thought y'all was going to beat the 49ers, really. So it's kind of push and shove. You know, a couple plays here in the game do change the outcome. But even one play that the missed field goal, things like that, it was things in the game before that could have secured a win. So I don't put it on one player or one play. It's just a team effort. We just had to be more disciplined and more detailed, and then win the closer games. That's how we was my junior year in Missouri. We weren't really finishing out games because of the simple details, the small details. My senior year, we was finishing out those same games that we lost last year because of the details that we encountered over the offseason.
Your mindset is incredible, and Green Bay fans will totally appreciate that team first mentality, that, you know, want to build something here mentality. Green Bay is not necessarily the most attractive place for free agents. It's, hey, draft these guys, develop them into stars. You look at what Jordan Love has developed into on the offensive side, and you look at a guy like Jaire Alexander coming from Louisville on the defensive side. So that's perfect, as well as what KJ said. The defense has got talent. It's close, and one or two pieces maybe away, you could for sure be one of those pieces, Ennis. Flipping it to the other side, what is one aspect of your game that you're working on currently to try and improve? Like, where do you think if you can, you know, improve this, that you can even take it to another level?
Interceptions. I only had one career interception. And when I go look at the tape, it's always like, I said, details. I'm very detail oriented, but sometimes even a guy like me, an athlete, you will step away a centimeter away, and it's all based off your detail. So that's what I work on. And I feel like I'm going to catch more picks in the NFL with the training that I've been doing.
I love that. I was actually going to ask you about turnovers, so that's a great segue. I want to ask you about Charles Woodson and Darrell Revis. Then maybe like you could even touch on guys like maybe like a Richard Sherman or like a Stephon Gilmore. Like, what do you think of those guys? And you know, are there anything in particular that stands out about them that you try and apply to your own game?
Darrell Revis is obviously in man-to-man coverage. It's Revis Island for a reason. Obviously, he really started the island thing. Growing up, my stepdad used to call me Lil Darrell because I was a lockdown corner. Darrell Revis ain't have a ton of picks, but he had a whole bunch of PBUs, and that's kind of how my career been going. So I really look up to him. Charles Woodson, he's been a beast since he was in college. He's an absolute ball hawk. He can really do it all. But in my opinion, I'm more of a Darrell Revis guy just based off of how my playing style is. You said Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman's a very smart athlete. You know, a lot of people try to say he a zone corner, but you can turn on the tape and see him catching picks and man as well. But if I'm not mistaken, when he was in the league, he had the most active interceptions in the league. Yeah, I know a little about my homework about guys like them.
Yeah,
it seems you are detail-oriented. It's shining through on the podcast. And so if there's any other players, Ennis, that you want to maybe talk about that have kind of – at Wisconsin, for example, players will take other players under the wing that are already in the pros. And maybe Missouri hasn't had as many pros as a school like Alabama, but maybe guys around the league have reached out to you. Has there been anyone that's kind of maybe taken you under the wing, answered some questions for you? And on top of that, are there guys you look up to in the league currently?
Obviously, you know, I look up to guys. I look up to really every corner can teach you something new. Like Jair Alexander, he's real patient at the line, and he can play off technique extremely well. You got guys like Denzel Ward, who beautiful at his foot fire at the line. You got people like Jalen Ramsey, who just erases everything on the field. You got guys like Bland, who jumped off the screen with interceptions. So it's a lot of guys in the league. Probably every veteran I take advice from or anything because they've been there where I want to be and they're in the right step and direction. So I'm willing to learn from anybody who can help me develop my game. It don't matter who it is. And, taking under my wing, I guess I got a couple people numbers. I don't really talk to them because I don't know what they got going, but like, I got Jalen Ramsey. He asked me if I ever had any questions to hit him up or things like that due to my agency, but I haven't hit him up or anything yet because I've just been focusing on trying to make it there and get myself right.
Great answer, man. Yeah, no, I would encourage you. Definitely reach out to those guys. Every situation we've ever heard is they're not afraid. Like they're not like, oh, you're not bothering me, you know, and maybe he might take a few days to respond or something, or maybe he'll respond right away. But that's an incredible bridge of communication you have. And Ennis, if you wouldn't mind just kind of sharing, like, what have you been up to lately? Like, how have you been preparing for the draft? And like, what's the next, few weeks look like for you up until that April draft?
The next few weeks look for me. So obviously we do our training every day. I do my board work and I do my media, so interview prep. So that's why I sound pretty good and amazing doing this right now. And it's very fluid because I've always been doing this since high school. And I'm getting polished up as we speak to even be better. But yeah, that's how my day go. I do my training, do the recovery, do a little extra mobility and things that I feel like I need work on. And it's time to put on a show in Indy. I got to show everybody that I'm really fast because a lot of people don't know how fast I am.
Yes, we were going to actually ask you about that, Ennis. There isn't much online about, say, a 40 time. Do you have a target number in your head that you want to share that you're going for that 40-yard dash?
In the offseason, my senior year, so before this year, my offseason, I ran a 4.36. So anywhere in the 4.3s, I feel like I can run a 4.4 regardless, but I just want the 4.3s.
And your tape the tape says it all. You're hanging with these guys. You know, you're everywhere you need to be. You're agile. You're a willing tackler. I think that's the biggest X factor for me is just the fact that you're physical. And frankly, we've kind of been studying some of these guys, and I don't see any reason why you can't be the top cornerback in this class. You know, and obviously no one can predict the future, but, man, I think you really have all these traits, and you have definitely X factors about you. Do you feel like you have any X factors that maybe we haven't touched on yet that you'd be interested in sharing?
If you watch my film, you see that I pretty much can – it looked like I know exactly what the offense is about to do, and it's just based off of my preparation and my study. It's a lot of times in the game where I've seen something, and I told my DC what play to run, and he trusts me, and I'm 3-for-3 on plays. So I'm a very high IQ football player. Obviously, physicality, that's what I pride myself on. So when people say I'm very physical, I just pat myself on the back because that's the number one thing I want to show.
That's fantastic. Amazing. Ennis, we want to thank you for coming on. And our final question we usually ask is, how's the family doing and how is Ennis Rakestraw the person doing?
The family's good. You know, they're more excited about this process than me. I'm not really a guy who, I see the projections due to my mom or other people talking to me. It really don't solidify nothing for me as a person. I don't really care because at the end of the day, the only thing that's going to matter is what I do at the combine and when I get picked. So I don't really be focused on anything like that. But my mom and them is definitely enjoying the journey. Nobody in my family ever did this, so I'm really being legendary to my family. That's all that really matters to me, honestly. So once I get picked on draft day, that's when I'm all about the organization and want to be legendary for them as well and the fans.
Well, Ennis, thank you so much for your time, Packers fans. Seems like he is a good one, so hopefully Green Bay takes him. Again, if you like today's show, please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Text it to a friend. That's the number one way.